every once in a while, when I'm on a bus or an airplane or just hanging out in some public place, the fact that I'm a minister will come up. Usually the topic of what do you do arises, and I decided a long time ago that I refuse to lie about my job, even though it might be easier sometimes. Inevitably, the next question is, oh, in what tradition? And then I say I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister, and one of two things happens. One, either they're confused and have no idea what that means, and I have to explain it. Or two, they have some vague idea of what Unitarian Universalism means. And in both cases, usually at some point they will say, so, you're like a religion where you can believe anything. And if you've heard any of my sermons this year, you know that my answer is no. We can't believe anything we want. There are limits to our beliefs, bounded by our principles, but we do, yes, have religious freedom, that we have no creed that says what we all must agree on, and so yes, there is religious diversity here about beliefs of God, life, death, and afterlife, and we do have religious freedom. The question that usually wraps up this conversation, you can tell I've had this conversation a few times, is, so how do you preach every Sunday to people with so many different beliefs? What do you talk about? This is the question that stumps people the most. And honestly, I wonder about it too myself sometimes. How do we do this every week? How do we all hear the same message and filter it through our own lenses of belief and experience? And how do we then walk away or move away, taking away what we need? It comes down, in my experience, to the Unitarian Universalist position on wonder or curiosity. As I often say before I start the wonder box, it's not just that we don't know stuff. It's that we have a theological position of not knowing. It's part of our particular UU lens through which we view the world. Our fourth principle states it like this: we affirm and promote the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. So we're in agreement through our principles that we are all on this search to seek truth and meaning the best we can understand it at any given time. And we also acknowledge that that might change over time as we have new experiences and as our world changes. This is what we mean when we say that Unitarian Universalism is among the liberal religious traditions. Liberal theology marks religious groups like ours, also the United Church of Christ, the Quakers, and others. It means that our viewpoint on religious truth is flexible, willing to change, that we're willing to question beliefs, even long-held beliefs, and change them if necessary. This is in contrast to conservative religious traditions whose primary hallmark is to conserve or keep the traditions from the past. And when I use these words, liberal, conservative, I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about theology or religious perspective. Now, it's true often that political and religious liberalism go together, but you can have a politically conservative ideology and a religiously liberal one, too. Now, what does this have to do at all with any of the things that Dan talked about? What does it have to do with courage? I'm going to assert today that one of the six stages of the full cultivation of courage is curiosity. Today is the first in a six-part series on what I'm calling the six C's of courage. These are the six parts or stages of developing courage to face fears or to make changes in our own lives or in the world. These six stages don't necessarily go in any orderly fashion. I'm thinking about them kind of like the stages of grief, according to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. They're not linear. You could start with any one of them. You'll skip around. Sometimes one stage will take you to another stage or back to one you've already experienced. And then even when you've gone through all the stages, something else in your life will require a new courage, and you're going to have to do them all again anyway. So what got me thinking about these stages, and they are just something I've been thinking about, I didn't read them anywhere else, because I was working last year with a group of members of this congregation in the Beloved Conversations program, which is an intensive program thinking about how to dismantle racism in our own lives and in the world. And there was an honest awareness in that group that some of the participants had their own fears. Their fear of messing up, of saying the wrong thing, of hurting someone. These are reasonable, healthy fears. And I admit that I have those same fears. But I noticed in the group conversations that the fears were holding the group back from transforming themselves. And the fears were keeping them from making the needed changes in their own lives and in our congregational system and in the world to chip away at institutionalized racism. And so I would go home from these Beloved Conversations meetings, and I would think, it's my job to help you, help the people I serve, develop skills that can help you in your lives. Not just to give you some ideas on Sunday morning, but to actually help with skill development, to live your values, to live our values, and not just to say them on Sundays. So this got me thinking about courage. This quality that people cultivate that allows them to face their fears. And I started to wonder if courage might be one of the keys to truly living our UU values, if something holding us back from that was actually fear. Some of these courage things might require big courage. So I'm thinking about Marie Luna's recent visit to Tornillo, Texas, where she assisted with the immigration crisis at the border. I found that really brave of her. She booked a plane ticket to go somewhere she had never been. She tried to be of use in a place where there was great need. She stumbled, she felt helpless, and still tried to make a difference. But other things might just require small courage. Right now, it's the new year, and I, like probably many of you, am trying to make changes in my own life. I'm trying to focus more on how I treat my body. My move, my new ministry here has really put that on a back burner. So I'm trying to drink more water, to drastically reduce the amount of fast food that I eat, and move my body, because I know it's going to make my body feel better. But you know what? Even saying that out loud, especially from the pulpit, is scary. Because maybe I'll fail. What if I don't do it? What if I revert to my old patterns? It's easier to not make changes, to not enter into the conversation that might result in a faux pas or a microaggression. It's easier to not enter into the fray. It's easier to not face that dragon. And so the first of the six C's, remember that they don't go in particular order, is curiosity. The others, just as a sneak preview, are clarity, connection, compassion, celebration, and commitment. Today, curiosity is our starting point, which brings me back to wonder and our religious liberalism and to our fourth principle, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, which is our theme this month. We are a curious people. Reverend Paige Getty said in the reading that we heard earlier, our fourth principle is a privilege. She said this privilege calls us not to be isolated and self-centered, believing that our single perspective trumps all others, but rather to be humble, to be open to the great mysteries of truth and meaning that life offers, and that those mysteries may speak to us through our own intuition and experience, but also through tradition, community, conflict, nature, and relationships. As a faith tradition, she writes, Unitarian Universalism makes sacred the right and responsibility to engage in this free and responsible quest as an act of religious devotion. I love that. It's not just that we can believe whatever we want, and no one's going to tell us what to believe, but that it is a particular theological stance, a sacred act to not know and to be curious. So when we're faced with a dragon, it's our instinct to put up our shield, to protect ourselves, to draw our sword. But that typically doesn't make the dragon go away. It just makes the dragon mad. And to bring up the metaphor of to real life, when you're faced with someone with whom you disagree, or facing a fear of something dangerous, or something that just feels uncomfortable, being defensive or going on the attack usually doesn't help. Now, I get it. It might make us feel better to go on the attack, at least temporarily. But in the end, the dragon, the thing that we're afraid of, the person we disagree with, is still there and probably madder or more insistent than before. But what if courage began with curiosity? As I said during the Wonderbox time, courage comes from the root core, meaning heart, like coronary. The curiosity might begin with your own heart. A gentle, curious question to your heart might be a good place to start in cultivating courage. Hey there, heart. I'm wondering why you're feeling so afraid right now. Is this about this thing in front of me? Or is it about something else? Is it maybe something from my past that's actually showing up in this way right now? And so starting with that place, starting with understanding why your heart is feeling what it's feeling, is a good starting place. And then maybe talking to the dragon, whatever that dragon might be, in an open, curious way. Hey, dragon, I wonder what you need. In my case, with my body care, maybe my dragon doesn't need to be slain. Maybe it just needs more water. If I'm talking to someone with whom I vehemently disagree, it is easy to put up the shield and be defensive. But a stance of wonder and curiosity might help me understand where they're coming from. It might help me to see that we have more in common than we think. It might also help me to clarify where we truly do differ, which helps me to decide if or how I want to continue in that conversation. But if I started with my sword and shield and not with curiosity, then I might be fighting the wrong dragon altogether, the dragon of my assumptions instead of the real one in front of me. Or I might be fighting in the wrong way, or I might be fighting when it doesn't need to be fought at all. One of the things that I know about this congregation is that many of you, many, are engaged in making the world a better place. Whether that's here at the fellowship or out in the world, you're volunteering, you're serving on committees, you're active in public policy making or politics, you support nonprofits, you help people in so many ways. We Unitarian Universalists are a people of action. We used to have this old UU bumper sticker that said, deeds, not creeds. But sometimes this action can be the knight in shining armor type of action, charging ahead without a whole lot of consideration of why or how to address the issues at hand. One thing I learned from community organizers is that they teach us that the first step in any collective change is the one-on-one conversation. These conversations from a place of curiosity can bolster us for whatever comes next. One of the scariest things to face is a total unknown. Have you ever had that experience where it seems so scary until you get more information? Curiosity allows us to have a better sense of what we're facing. It brings us more clarity, which is what we're going to talk about next week as a next necessary component for courage. And so back to that question of how is it that I preach to people with so many different beliefs each week? It comes down to curiosity. As a UU minister, it's not my job to tell you the truth, which is kind of freeing. It's your job to be on the search. Now, it's my job to provide some spark for you to consider, for you to approach with curiosity and wonder. For something in this service, maybe it was the music, the sermon, the worship leader's reflection, or something else, might make you go, I wonder. And that is the goal of our services. That I call a success. You might approach what you hear here with curiosity and still decide that you disagree. That is perfectly fine. It would be unheard of if we all agreed all the time. But the trust is what makes Sunday mornings possible here. that you can trust that I will authentically speak my truth and do the best I can to bring forward ideas for you to consider. And I can trust that you will approach the message from a sacred stance of curiosity and wonder, not with your sword and shield drawn, but courageously with your heart. May we each face the dragons in our own lives with courage and with a humble, powerful, and faithful curiosity. May it be so. Amen.